Franklin Presents INC. And I'm not familiar with them. I haven't heard this one in extent. Okay, there you go. This other one is Revival Fire. 15 songs igniting revival fire. These are songs taken by the through the year. Okay. Next week. And I was looking for books, and this is Billy Graham said, there's no writer in the evangelical world that I admire and appreciate more, and I'm going to have to get a drink of water. By Billy Graham, and it's called The Jesus I Never Knew by Philip Yancey. The Jesus I Never Knew. This is the best book about Jesus I've ever read. Joseph Tien. No, he didn't say that. That was a good one. Amazingly enough, I'm sitting there and I'm looking around and I said, there's a new man in our midst. I knew, oh, he's a handsome guy. Who is he? And I said, oh, it's Toby with a haircut. He looked older. It's a man. Looking good, buddy. We're going to be, Marsha and I are going to be team teaching this morning, but I'm going to open it up. And we've been talking about fire. Testing. We've been talking about fire and the fire of the Holy Spirit. And in Matthew 3, verses 2, it'll be up on the board. Verse 1, it says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. For some of us, this has been a role we've had. Many of us, we've been talking about Jesus. Talking about Jesus, talking about Jesus. And it's almost like our words are blown away in the wind. And people aren't hearing it. However, in verse 3:11, John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire. We're talking about the fire. Okay, honey.
Okay. I wanted to start with sharing with you that the last couple of weeks, Robert's been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we've been praying for the Holy Spirit to come during the service and fill us, and I know that has happened. And one of the reasons I know that has happened is because I begin to see the part of Acts that we were studying, I begin to see it differently. And that's a clue that the Holy Spirit is there when you receive enlightenment or revelation about something. Like, I've read that section of Acts many times, but I saw it differently than I had ever seen it before. When that happens, I understand it's not coming from my brain, it's coming from the Lord. The Lord is revealing to me something else about that passage. And I had the great benefit of teaching the New Testament 3 years in a row to sixth graders who are amazingly receptive at El Sobrani Christian School. And we talked a lot about this section. It was always really sparked their imagination. But I have to say, this was a different picture of it. And what the Lord revealed to me was that Jesus had said, I have to go so that the one coming after me will come to minister to you and to be with you, and that's the Holy Spirit. And so this is the first time that the Holy Spirit comes upon them. I've heard it said by learned teachers that one of the most convincing things for the early church that Christianity was real was the change in the disciples. That they went from being these sort of weak, whiny cowards to stepping up, standing, you know, putting themselves on the line, risking their lives, and speaking boldly and confidently about the Lord. And you see that when this happens to them. And in that section, the Holy Spirit comes. This is Acts 2, the beginning of Acts 2. The Holy Spirit comes, and it's a sound like thunder. And flames of fire come upon all of them. Let me just turn to it really quick. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled, my other NIV said filled them. This version says filled the whole house with where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The word there, filled, the Greek word for that he's using for filled, it means not only to be, you know, full of the Holy Spirit internally, but it also means a fulfillment of God's promises. So this is the promise that Jesus gave. The Holy Spirit will come, and there it is. This is the evidence, the fulfillment of what Jesus told them. And they begin to speak in other tongues. This is part of what I saw differently, was this is a metaphor for them being able to not only speak tongues of other languages to Mesopotamians, and they have a long list of people here that they go out and speak to from other countries. Not only that, but when they receive this impartation of from the Holy Spirit, it's the base language. It's divine speech. So now they are able to hear the Holy Spirit and speak what the Holy Spirit has to say. And they begin to do that throughout the rest of the New Testament. They are able to hear from the Holy Spirit. And that's a really essential key to what happens after this. So then they go out and they a crowd comes together in bewilderment. Utterly amazed, they ask, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? And then there's a list. I think they put in a long list here of all the different countries that are represented. And I thought about this too, and I remembered a woman I knew from the Philippines who told me that when she came to America, she hardly spoke English, and she felt lost and sort of isolated. And she happened to go to a party, and there was someone there who came up to her and spoke in Tagalog. Is that the right? Did I say it right? In her language. And all of a sudden, she felt completely different about being there. She felt accepted. She felt valued. She felt that, you know, she was, you know, a more important person than she had. And I think that's what these people are feeling. Here they are in Jerusalem, and we already know from previous studies that the Sadducees and the Pharisees are not real warm and fuzzy people. They don't go out, you know, and hug and embrace people. They're sort of haughty. And you're not as good as I am. So for these people from all these different countries to have someone come up to them and speak their language, they must have felt like the woman from the Philippines. They must have felt accepted and valued. They felt different. And it influenced them to be more receptive to what Peter is going to tell them about Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so I think that's a key as well. But what we see here is the Holy Spirit comes in such amazing power that it's just pouring out in a way that no one has ever witnessed before. And as a result of that, Peter begins to speak to this crowd of people who have just heard their own language. And he says, listen. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you might suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes through the prophecy of how in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. He repeats this prophecy because for them, that's the confirmation that something is going on with God. Prophecy is a really important part of their faith. We don't see it as much now in our churches. I wish we did. But for them, it was really essential. And remember, they didn't have Bibles. They had spoken faith, spoken religion. So they're repeating this prophecy to say, this is proof that God is here. And then he goes on to say that God has raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. He is exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. That's a key because he's identifying for them right now. What's in the midst of us, that you're hearing your own language. You are in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's never happened before. It must have been amazing. I mean, incredible. And because of that, and when the word he uses for listen there is also a specific Greek word. It means not only listen, but listen, you have been chosen by God. So he's saying, you were chosen by God to hear this. And this is the message. And then he goes on to tell them more about Jesus. And he gives a witness about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What they've seen around them. And 3,000 of them do that. I mean, that's amazing. Right there. I mean, that probably all happens in the space of, I don't know, less than an hour, maybe less than 30 minutes. 3,000 people come to the Lord because they are chosen by God. They were chosen to hear this message. I don't know if you've felt that. I don't know your individual testimonies, but when Robert and I were born again, that definitely happened to us. We felt chosen by God at that moment to hear the message we received, and we were born again. So that's an incredible feeling, and you know it. Your spirit responds to that. So that's at the very, that's the beginning of the church, right there. And as you go on through Acts, the Holy Spirit continues to be present in such power that the shadow, Peter's shadow, heals people and delivers them. He doesn't even have to walk up or say anything or touch them. People are carried into his shadow, and they're changed. And that's an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is so present right there around them, I also saw Ananias and Sapphira a little differently, which Robert taught on as well. I saw it not so much as they told a lie and all of a sudden up in heaven they said, uh-oh, they're bad, they're dead. Not so much that as evidence of when the Holy Spirit is that strong, the Holy Spirit being truth and light, it completely extinguishes a lie so powerfully that they're killed by it. It's just, you can't, darkness does not have power over light. Light illuminates darkness. If you have a dark room and you turn on the light wins. Do you remember that old game, rock, paper, scissors? You know how they, remember that? Right. Rock crushes the scissors, etc. Well, light conquers darkness. And they were, and similarly, truth conquers lies. They can't exist in the same place. So in this case, Ananias and Sapphira are killed by that because they come in a lie. And it just eliminates them. But that's further evidence of the power of the Spirit right then, right there. It's just amazing. And it goes on through all of Acts. Every chapter you see some incredible thing happens. And the other thing I love about it is that you don't see anywhere Peter going, wow, isn't this amazing? Look what happened. It's more like it's recorded almost matter-of-factly. Like, another one I just wanted to mention briefly is when the eunuch is brought to the Lord and baptized, and that's... Philip, thank you. I was just going to go there. That's let me see. Thank you. I had it. Good. All right. No, that doesn't. Did you write down this? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, so here he is, he's able to hear the Holy Spirit. Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. Does that stand out in a way? I mean, if you're reading it, it seems like it would be some comprehension of what you read. But he doesn't understand it. He needs someone, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. So he needs someone to explain it to him. And so Philip does. In the course of that, he's baptized. And they go down to the water, and he's baptized. And then it says in 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. Doesn't that sound sort of fantastic to you? I mean, there they are. He's getting baptized. This guy is, you know, blessing him, and he's receiving the Lord, and all of a sudden the guy's gone. And he's just standing there. I mean, that's kind of supernatural. But that, to me, all of these things are written into Acts so that we know that, one, the Holy Spirit, God's promise was fulfilled, and it continues to be fulfilled in all of our lives. That's one. And two, that the outpouring was so powerful that these amazing supernatural things were happening. And I believe that was not limited to that time. I believe that the Holy Spirit is available to us. I have seen amazing things, especially when the more people are gathered praying for the Holy Spirit, the greater it appears, the greater the outpouring of gifts from the Holy Spirit. And because it is here, it's with us. And for Robert just to begin to teach about this, I began to see this all differently. I love that. I love that about the agency of the Holy Spirit. So you were going to go on. Yes, can you talk?
We did it His way. Hallelujah. You know, Marcia was talking about a group, and it reminded me of a time when we were at Promised Land, and there was a group of people that were interested in prayer. And there's probably a dozen of us, I guess. And we were like in one of the upper offices, and we were praying and praying and praying. We were in our flesh praying and trying to get things. And all of a sudden, this one guy, Gary Paltridge, who's sort of a traveling prophet now, he was a young guy from England, and he says, I think I'm supposed to say, let the river flow. And as soon as he said this, this one woman went, bah, 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 all the way against the wall. And people just started, whoa, just like an explosion went off in the room. It's like it was a room full of gas, and bam, it exploded. Next thing you know, we're all sitting in a circle, and we're singing in tongues in harmony. I mean, it's one of these kind of things. I'm not really a tongues guy, you know, but I was singing with everybody else. And we went on that way for a couple of hours. Just people just crying and praising the Lord. And I don't think anybody ever really heard of it. Later on, I happened to talk to the senior pastor, and he says, what, did that happen? Like, I wish you'd have told me this. Well, I think I told the man who was above me, and it just sort of filtered away. But it was a powerful encounter for the people in the room. And the one woman that went across the room with her feet, just against the wall, just started speaking in tongues. I hate to say that within about a year later, she was killed. She was on roller skates going down a hill, and she ran into a building, and it killed her. She lost control.
She went to heaven.
Yeah, she went to heaven. But the of everybody else in the room that I can think of, one couple, their pastor's out of blazing fire. Gary Paltridge, the guy had the word. He travels around. He's a prophet and heals people and things like that. It's part of it.
And we all started singing, and then we'd stop at the same time, and there'd be this silence, and then we'd start at the same time, and then we'd stop. It was amazing. It was like
it was like somebody was conducting
something. Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
I wasn't sure what Marcia was going to talk about too much, but in the second chapter of Acts, I had sort of a thing I wanted to do. And so these three guys here, Ryan and Yeah, you three guys, come here, stand up, come here. What's going to happen is because after, what's your name? Elliot. Yeah, last week we're having worship here and the worship leader says, come on, let's have hallelujah, hallelujah. We were just filled. And Elliot ran up and went, hallelujah. That's Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. When a person acts freely, just behaves, that this is a natural thing to do. We all laughed. It was good. That's Holy Spirit. That's just like tongues. It's a freedom of expression, just a freedom without pressure. Laughter and having games and exalting, that's the Holy Spirit. That we had a Bible study yesterday, and this guy's sitting right across from me, Ryan. I'm looking at him. His eyes, there was something about his eyes. The power of God was on him. He's talking about all the things he struggles with and stuff. It was just a powerful time when we were here. We were just a small handful, but it was a powerful time. And I got to talk to my brother Scott here because I said, well, I have to go to a funeral, but I should be working in the yard. I should be working in, that's good, praise God. And I should be working in the yard, but I'm going to a funeral. And he just exhorted me before he left. And I got home and I felt so strong. I worked the heck out of the yard. It made my wife happy. She says, Robert, you better be careful with your shoulder and your back. But I was just into it. I had a really good time. Did most of my yard. Got to the funeral. And I'm back here. And I really felt the Lord is encouraging us. Okay, guys, this is it. We've been in the upper room. And we're coming out. We're coming out of the upper room. And we are full of the Holy Spirit. I'm too old to dance, but I need you guys to dance around. Now, here's what I want. I want David and Scott and JJ. I want you to stand up. And what you're going to say to me is you're going to see us and you're going to start saying, ha! You're going to start mocking us because we're full of wine, right? This is taking place. Okay, we're all coming out. I want you guys up on the stage and start dancing like just... Okay, you're full of the Holy Spirit. Ready? Go! Yeah! Hey! Hallelujah! 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 Okay. Hold it just for a second. Okay, mockers, give it to us. Come on, mock us! Come on, we're full of wine. Come on, you guys, do this. I know That's coming. That's after Peter speaks. Go ahead. Give it to us. Dance, guys. Dance. Yeah, hallelujah. Whoa. Little tongues. Go tongues. Speak Mandarin or something. Go ahead. Okay. You guys can't mock us? Maybe you can. Hallelujah. Sit back down. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? I think Marsh had a word of knowledge. You couldn't do it because of the joy. We're in unity here. We're in unity with the Holy Spirit. And we're sort of waiting for, okay, now what's going to happen? This is going to happen. No, it's here. God is here. He's in the house. The worship was anointed. It was Holy Spirit. I'm thinking, where's Dan been all this time? I haven't heard him. I haven't heard you worship for years. Man, I said, man, if I ever went on the road, I'm taking these guys with me. Sorry, Joseph, we're taking the family with us. Hallelujah. That was really good. It's just the Holy Spirit is here, and I think that's what we're going to...
Last Friday, we were having a prayer meeting at the Joshua House, and we were trying something different, and we started off, and we just started. All of a sudden, Cindy says, wait a minute. I didn't get to have my time to listen. I didn't... And it was so great. It was, she was in the Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit speaking. Like, I want you to listen after each person prays. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen to what I have to say. But it was so great that she just spoke right out. And she was, I didn't get to, you know, and she was talking to Emilio because he jumped in and started
She was
pray.
Talking to her husband,
yes,
of course.
Yes. And but it was clearly, the Holy Spirit was on her, and she was giving us all instruction. She was giving us all a message, and then we started to do it that way, and it was great.
Amen. And
About the Holy Spirit, I think that the big fear is quenching the Holy Spirit. And it said in First Thessalonians 5:19 about do not quench the Holy Spirit. But you really can't quench it. You can tamp it down a little bit, but it's always smoldering. It's like a smoldering coal. It's a smoldering coal. And what the smoldering coal is looking for is oxygen. And oxygen is forgiveness, and forgiveness is life. As you start forgiving yourself, you got a coal burning in you, and it might be smoldering, but as you start forgiving yourself and forgiving others, all of a sudden it starts breathing. It starts breathing up. And then you look for the fuel. And this is a thing I went through a while back, and the Lord says, the fuel are the logs in your own eye. As you judge other people, Jesus said, what do you worry about the mote in your brother's eye when you got a timber in your own? And that's where it comes from. As you forgive yourself and start confessing those things to one another, that's where the fire starts going. That's where the fire starts raising in, that the fire that was promised, the fire of Jesus Christ, comes through. It's so simple, isn't it? It's just acknowledging who you are and receiving forgiveness. And I've talked to men in here before, and it's happened to me, that Holy Spirit comes and all of a sudden you feel pride. Praise God. Praise God, because before I was a Christian, I didn't experience pride, or I didn't experience shame as something that I had. I had them, but I pushed them away. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it's a thing that you give up. Don't deny it. Say, no, you're right. And you give it to him, and the Lord gives you humility. You give him pride, he gives you humility. You give him stress about, I'm trying to control this, and these people aren't doing what I want them to do. Well, release that. And he'll give you peace and patience and love for that person. It just works in that way. It's just an interchange of who you are. And I think yesterday, and one of the things I'm just going to share, we had a time of sharing, went around, read the Bible, and then we asked the Holy Spirit to come. And afterwards, the Holy Spirit, one of the brothers shared, he said, it was very transparent. He said, you know, I was thinking, this is the wrong time to ask the Holy Spirit to come. We should have made prayer requests, then asked the Holy Spirit to come. But then the Holy Spirit starts speaking to him and starts showing him all of the prayers that have been answered in the past. Started to give him this spirit of gratitude and thankful, and it gave him peace. And as he did it, it sort of encouraged me, and I looked at him and I just saw that God had done something on him, and I just saw the peace that he had as he gave praise to God for the things that had taken place in the past. So hallelujah. Dance out there, you guys. Keep dancing. Hallelujah. So it's a frustration. It's almost like we've been part of things. I know there's people in here that have been part of Holy Spirit things where all of a sudden, bam, it comes and people start falling down. And they're crying, or they're praising God, or they're shaking, and they're different. They come out differently. And that's what we feel here. The Lord has encouraged me with the promise of worshiping early. So I'm getting here early and I'm praising and I came around today and it was like, as the Lord told me, as I prayed on the walls and on the chairs, the Lord said, there's like a wall of fire and a wall of fire and a wall of fire, and this is like a furnace. And when that door opens, it's just going to suck everything in. We're in here and it's just anybody that comes that door is just going to be sucked in by the power of God and the presence of God. And the fire is going to take away all of the negative things that we've struggled with. It's going to give us that, I don't know, give us joy and peace to be able to have a good time, to be unable to criticize each other. Just as was demonstrated today, we couldn't do it. We couldn't mock it, because it was just like, as David said, I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool what's going on, because there's nobody cooler than Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we found in the junior high school, that nobody was cooler than than Jesus. Because all the kids in junior high, they all want to be cool, right? And you try to get them to talk about Jesus, and they think, oh, well, I don't know. And then you start telling them about how cool Jesus was. He says, he was cool? Yeah. I turn my hat on backwards and say, oh, Mr. Scott's really cool. He's got his hat on backwards because it's against the rules. That's a rule I fought forever. They said, no, we can't have the kids wear their hats on backwards and they can't wear Raider stuff. I said, well, why not? I said, I see youth pastors that have their hats on backwards. No, okay, I was just one man of two surrounded by women. I loved them, but they didn't hear our voices. No offense to the women.
Different women.
That's what we're going to do, my honey. We're on the same page here. That's the Holy Spirit, yeah. Hallelujah. In Matthew 12:20, Jesus says that, he talks about the small, I haven't got it here, so I have to put it up on the board, and I don't have it memorized, but it's about the smoldering ember, and it says he would never quench it. I would never quench this, because he has a promise for it. He has a promise for that smoldering ember. Just turn down. And then, on the other hand, you know, Satan will counterfeit everything that Jesus wants to do. We have the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit. So what Satan will do, he'll use these fiery darts to shoot them against you, to shoot them against your lies. People will say things, or you'll think, I think that they meant that. Husband and wives, I think she's mad at me, or I think he did this wrong, or whatever it is. Why doesn't... You know, so many times I'll be trying to do the right thing for Marcia and it seems like being the wrong thing. Well, I did this, like today, I brought her Bible. I says, oh, maybe she left her Bible and she's going to, I know she has to take the dog for a walk, but maybe she won't bring it. So she goes back home. I thought she's coming here because she wanted to change at home. And then she couldn't find her Bible. So she's looking around for 10 minutes for her Bible, but I've already got it here. Amen? Hallelujah. So the enemy will shoot that, but Jesus Christ has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's given us a shield of faith. Amen? A shield of faith that when the fiery darts come and our faith of knowing who Jesus Christ is, they don't find a home in us. As the enemy says, you're not good enough to be a Christian, or you're a phony, or what people really knew you. That's not true. The truth is that we're righteous because God says we are. We're righteous because we have Jesus Christ living inside of us. And Jesus says, hey, rejoice when people come against you, because they're not coming against you. They're coming against me that's living in you. They're coming against me that's living in you. And the truth is, Jesus Christ is living within each one of us. So that counterfeit fire. So what I think that... I had examples of here of Daniel in the furnace. They took Daniel and Meshach and Abednego and threw them in the furnace, and the soldiers that took them in burned to death because the fire was so hot. And then the king's looking in there and he says, what's going on? And he says, there's four men in there. It was those three plus Jesus Christ. And after that, they came out and they said they were not singed at all. There was nothing, any evidence of a fire. And because of that, their king said, if anybody speaks against their God, they're going to be chopped up in little pieces. Because their God is so powerful. And that's what he's saying about us. If anybody says it comes against us, because we're men and women of God, heaven help them. We should pray for them. We need to pray for them. Because we are his favorite. And he's going to use us. He's going to pour out his gifts on us. He gives us every reason in our moments to be thankful and to praise his name for what he's done. So I'd like everybody to stand up, and I'm going to read from a benediction and just receive this. That's not it.
I was going to suggest in the next week, as you're doing various things, just, you know, be aware of the Holy Spirit, and you'll begin to notice little things that are going on around you that are evidence that the Holy Spirit is there. Like Robert gets parking places. That's one of his things. And we drive up somewhere, and there is a parking place right in front of the door. It's amazing. So, you know, begin to notice, because it is there. And it will increase. The more you notice it, the more you thank God for whatever it is, the more it grows.
Amen. So here's what's going to happen. In 1 Thessalonians 5. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to hear this, because the first part is going to bring conviction. It'll bring conviction, and then just have a moment of silence and just do a bit. If you're convicted, give it to the Lord. If you're convicted of something you want, if you're convicted of something good, then just celebrate and thank Jesus, and then we will receive the blessing. Verse 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now just receive. Holy Spirit, come. Now I want you to say, God is the Lord of my life.
God is the Lord of my life.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
I've given him my sins.
I've given him my sins.
I will walk in his righteousness.
I will walk in his righteousness.
For his name's sake.
For his name's sake.
Now I want you to receive. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who is also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, greet each other in a holy way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with upon you. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 I love that song. Thank you. So greet each other. Oh, man, Dan did a good job. Greet each other. Good to see you. I'm thinking about you.